MacCast, February 14th, 2005.
All systems are functional.
1.21 gigawatts!
Malfunction.
Well, you know anything about computers?
It's alive!
This is your MacCast, the show for Mac geeks by a Mac geek, with your host, Adam, here to discuss all things Macintosh.
Hey Mac Geeks, if you probably noticed, we have a new show opener. Thanks to Rob for putting that together for me. The backing track is still Manda and the Marbles. You can visit Manda and the Marbles at mandaandthemarbles.com. If anyone else wants to help out the show and make a show opener or a sweeper or ad, especially an ad, I'd like to kind of cross-promote the show on some other podcasts and just don't have the time to put together a really cool MacCast ad. If someone could do that for me and send it to maccast@gmail.com, I would really appreciate it. Man, I'll tell you, when you don't do one of these things over the weekend, like I do, I put these out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, things really kind of pile up sometimes, and this is no exception today. We've got a ton of stuff to cover, so I'm going to roll right into it, and here you go. So the lawyers for PowerPage.org and Apple Insider are asking the courts in California to block a subpoena that Apple has issued to try and get them to turn over the sources of the information that they leaked. You guys may remember that Apple is suing those two organizations because of the leaks that happened before Macworld. And now they're trying to find out who the sources of those leaks were. And the lawyers are gonna hopefully block that. I really hope they do. You know, they're claiming First Amendment rights, and I think they're absolutely correct. We should be able to report the news when we get it, and we should be able to protect our sources. That's existed in print media and television media for years, and I don't see any reason why it shouldn't apply to these private websites and bloggers. So continuing on with some more bad behavior from Apple, there are two independent Apple resellers in California that are having to shut down, close their doors, which is really unfortunate to see. And they're claiming that the reason is because of Apple in the Bay Area. There's four Apple stores, I believe, in the Bay Area and the Bay Area in California. Sorry for those of you who don't live there or maybe from another country. Basically, in and around San Francisco, there is a store called MacAdam. And they've been in operation for 16 years. And then in Sacramento, there is Mac Online. And they both had to close their doors on January 28th. And they're citing basically practices by Apple that are forcing the independent resellers out the door, claiming that Apple is favoring the Apple retail stores. Basically, they're saying that Apple would supply their stores with new Macintoshes and iPods and things before the resellers could get them. So they were having situations where customers would come in and ask for a product, say the Mac Mini or the new iPod Shuffle, for example. And the independent reseller would have to say, well, we're out of it. Yet the customer could go over to the Apple store and buy one off the shelf. And that's just not right. And I've seen it myself down here in San Diego. The same kind of thing. I know of an independent reseller down here who does an absolutely fabulous job supporting Apple and has for years. And Apple's basically turned around and slapped them in the face. I love the Apple stores, don't get me wrong. I think they're absolutely fabulous places, and we've needed them for a really long time because, frankly, a lot of the larger resellers weren't focused on Apple products. But the mom and pops had picked up the slack for many, many years, and now they're sort of being left in the dust. And so it's really sad to see. And unfortunately, two of these stores have now closed. Apple needs to get on the ball and help these guys out. You know, they, like I said, have been helping out Apple for years and years and years, and Apple needs to return the favor now more than ever. Okay, the last thing we need to scold Apple on today is something that's going on in the United Kingdom. If you have purchased an iBook or own an iBook recently, then you know about the Logic Board repair program. I was actually affected by this. I had a 14-inch G3 iBook and had numerous problems with it, along with many, many other people. And Apple finally came out after a while and admitted there was a problem with the logic boards, and they set up a program where you could send in your iBook and have the logic board replaced. I actually had so many problems with mine that and sent it in so many times that they actually upgraded me to a 14-inch iBook G4, and it's been great, and I've had it ever since. But with the logic board repair program in the United Kingdom, Apple is now requiring the customers to pay the shipping and handling fees going to and from Apple, whereas before, and in the United States, Apple covers all those charges. And I can honestly say that's just ridiculous. You know, it's Apple's defect, it's Apple's problem, they need to pay to fix it, and they need to pay to fix it properly. And to start telling UK customers that they have to pay the shipping and handling is just unacceptable. I guess it's gotten so bad and it's become such a problem that independent resellers in the United Kingdom won't even take iBooks now on the repair program unless that iBook was purchased at their store. So you can't even in the United Kingdom take your iBook to an Apple authorized reseller if you didn't buy it there, because they don't want to have to deal with the stuff that Apple's putting them through. So again, Apple, come on, get your act together. You do such a great job in so many areas, and you know, over and over we're starting to hear these little slip-ups. So get your act together, fix it up. That's all I'm going to say about it. Okay, is that enough Apple bashing or bringing you guys down on Apple? Let's move on to some more positive stuff. The Grammys. Grammys happened yesterday, last night, and part of the Grammys was a special song, and Apple is releasing that on the iTunes Music Store. You can go over, and if you purchase that, actually, hold on a second. Okay, I wanted to check this because somehow I didn't get this in the show notes. The name of the track is Across the Universe, and it was performed by people like Bono, Stevie Wonder, Norah Jones, Brian Wilson, Alicia Keys, and a number of other great artists. And Apple has put it up on the iTunes Music Store. It's available for 99 cents, and all of the proceeds go to benefit tsunami relief for UNICEF. So go over and purchase that track. In addition, Apple has also released special pricing discounts on all of the music for the Grammy-winning artists. So that means some albums are as low as $7.99. So head over there and take advantage of those deals and enjoy the music. All right, now something we talked about a couple podcasts ago, I guess, or several podcasts ago, was Motorola's iTunes-compatible cell phone, and they released details on that today. The model is the E1060, and it's going to be the first one that's going to have Apple iTunes support. It has the following features. It has a 1.3-megapixel camera for doing still photos and video, a VGA camera for doing video conferencing, Bluetooth wireless, and audio and video streaming playback support for MPEG-4, which is the AAC portion, WMV and WMA for Windows media files, and also support for MP3 files. And it's going to come with 32 megabytes of internal memory, but it will be expandable up to 512 megabytes with memory cards. Motorola did mention that, obviously because it has the WMV, WMA support for Windows media files, that it won't be exclusive to iTunes, but what I'm hearing is that iTunes is going to be the preferred media player or media buyer, I guess, store to purchase music on for the handset. And it looks like it's going to be available sometime at the end of 2005 in the fourth quarter, and they did not mention pricing. So I'm curious to know how you guys feel about cell phones with MP3 players or purchasing music and playing music on your cell phone. I personally don't do it, and I don't know if I have much interest. I really love my iPod. I got my wife an iPod Shuffle, and I think that's a great device. And I'm not big on cell phone convergence. A lot of people talk about, you know, merging your cell phone and your PDA and your MP3 player all into one device. I really prefer having separate devices that work really well for doing that one thing. I find that too many times when you try and cram too many features into one device, all the different areas suffer. Like, you end up with a mediocre cell phone and a mediocre MP3 player and a mediocre PDA, rather than if you just bought the best of each one of those, you have the best of all worlds. So give me your opinion on that, mattcast@gmail.com. Okay, here's a fun little thing, a little, I don't know if you'd call it a lover's spat or quarrel or whatever you want to call it. But as many of you may know or may not know, Disney and Pixar, basically Steve Jobs and Michael Eisner, kind of had a falling out over the contract. The contract between Disney and Pixar was up, and it was due for renewal, and they haven't reached an agreement. Up until now, Disney's been the exclusive distributor of all the Pixar films, and apparently there have been words going back and forth, and Steve Jobs recently called Michael Eisner a quote-unquote loose cannon. And I guess this happened at an investor conference, and Eisner said in response to a question that their new efforts in creating digital characters, human digital characters, compared to Pixar's, he said Pixar's efforts were pretty pathetic compared to what Disney was doing with their new animations and stuff like that, since they're moving on away from Pixar. And then Steve Jobs answered back that he said, quote, "Our films don't stack up to Atlantis, Emperor's New Groove, or Treasure Planet," and then went on to make, I guess, the loose cannon comment. So it's funny, he, you know, brings up the latest hand-drawn animation features of Disney that were kind of really, I don't know if necessarily stinkers, but didn't do very well at the box office. And as you all know, the recent Pixar films have, you know, just done really great for Disney. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but it's just kind of funny to hear this little back and forth bickering between the two of them. And then we'll have to just wait and see what happens. I have a feeling Pixar is going to go on their own and try and do their own thing. Disney's trying to do their own thing. And it should be a neat little competition to see who comes out on top. My vote's on Pixar, but you never know. Disney may be due for a comeback. Okay, anybody who's been thinking about a new Mac Mini but is maybe thinking that it doesn't quite have all the horsepower they want and aren't the type of person who really would want to jump in and try and modify it themselves will be interested in this next story. There's a company called Fast Mac who announced today a program they're calling Take Your Mini to the Max, and it's an upgrade program. Basically, you can purchase a new Mac Mini, send it into them, and they provide the following upgrades: an 8x SuperDrive upgrade, so if you want the faster SuperDrive, a 1 gigabyte of RAM upgrade, or a 100 gigabyte hard drive upgrade. And each upgrade is priced at $199.95, and they include prepaid shipping and do installation and also do data transfer, and they promise a 1 to 2 business day turnaround. So you know, I guess you can buy your $499 Mac Mini, and then for $600, since each upgrade is $200, get an 8x SuperDrive, a gig of RAM, and a 100 gigabyte hard drive. So you will have a souped-up, modified Mac Mini. So, hey, go for it. Be the baddest Mac Mini owner on your block. So, more shakeups over at HP. Since Carly, their CEO, resigned, she was the one who stood up at Macworld, I believe, a couple years ago and showed off the new HP iPod for those of you who got to see the keynote. But anyway, in the wake of her resignation, looks like Allison Johnson, who was HP's senior vice president of marketing, is leaving HP and coming over to Apple. So she's going to come over to Apple and become the vice president of worldwide marketing and communications for Apple, and she will be reporting to Steve Jobs. I don't know if I would personally want to be reporting directly to Steve Jobs, knowing what I've heard sort of about his personality, but good luck to her. Okay, there's a fun story, if you haven't seen it yet, over at Wired.com. That mentions some information about the Apple stores in LA, which, as you might guess, get a lot of celebrity visitors. And they talk about sort of who's the good celebs to have at the Apple store and who are the not so good ones. For example, they mentioned Melanie Griffith throwing a tantrum over the fact that she was unable to buy a pink iPod because they were sold out, and claiming that, you know, Apple should have reserves for people like her. So not very nice story to hear. And then other really great stories of people like Robin Williams, who apparently ran around the Apple store and found every available computer that had a digital camera hooked up to it, took a snapshot or a couple snapshots of himself and left them open on the desktops for other store visitors to check out. So fun little stories from sources inside Apple stores over at Wired.com. There's a link from the show notes on maccast.com. Really fun read if you want to check that out. Whew. Last thing in the news today. Man, this has been a lot to cover. We're like 15 minutes into it, and I haven't even got on to comments yet. But the last thing we have in the news is Red Hat Linux. We've been talking a lot about Yellow Dog Linux, which is based on Red Hat, but it looks like the Fedora 4 release, which is, I believe, the free release of Red Hat Linux version 4, is going to have support for PowerPC processors. So you should be able to run it on your G5 Macintoshes. And it's scheduled for release May 16th. And I believe there's a preview release coming out February 22nd. I don't know if that one's going to be available for PowerPC or not, but they're definitely planning support for PowerPC, which I guess is new for Red Hat Linux. So all you Linux people who are running Linux on your Macs, it might be worth checking out. All right, I'm getting great feedback and comments on the Switcher special that I put together. If you have a Switcher story, if you have a story you'd like to share with all of us about your experience switching from PC to Macintosh, please send MP3 audio comments to maccast@gmail.com. I'm going to try and put together a Switcher Stories 2 special, so please send those in. But one of the big issues that was mentioned in the original Switcher Stories for a lot of PC users was getting their mail from the Outlook mail client or Outlook Express mail client on their PC over to the Macintosh. And listener Mike Whitman had a good recommendation for us.
Hi, this is Mike Whitman with a tip for exporting email, contacts, and calendars from Microsoft Outlook for Windows to a usable format for your Mac. The problem is that Microsoft doesn't make it easy to transfer information out of Outlook for Windows. While forwarding email to a web-based service works, it is time-consuming, and that solution doesn't work for calendar items. The solution I found is called Outlook to Mac from Little Machines. You can find this program for $10 from www.littlemachines.com. Outlook to Mac exports your PC's Microsoft Outlook email, attachments, contacts, and calendar appointments to a portable Macintosh-compatible file format that you can import into Apple's Mail, Address Book, iCal, Microsoft Entourage, and other third-party programs. Importing into a Mac is simply a drag-and-drop affair or an import option within the program you want to use. For the MacCast, this is Mike Whitman. Have a great day.
Great. Thanks, Mike. So there you go. A simple, easy program. It runs $10 from Little Machines. There's a link from the show notes, and that'll get your mail from Outlook over to your Mac. If you want to save a little money and do it all yourself, there's some advice from another listener, Jim, along with a couple other tips for switchers.
I was listening to your latest podcast with the switchers, and I noticed that a couple of the switchers have had trouble trying to get their email from Outlook over to mail on the Mac. I was reading at Ars Technica, ArsTechnica.com. They have a pretty active Mac section. Anyway, there was a three-step plan that people have been using and had a lot of success with in converting their email from Outlook over to the Mac. It involves first importing your Outlook email into Outlook Express on the PC, and then using a freeware program to convert the Outlook Express mailboxes into the mbox format, which the mail program on the Mac can read directly. The other two issues that switchers have talked about on Ars Technica is, first, that the mouse has a different acceleration curve, and a lot of new Mac users coming from Windows tend to overshoot with the mouse. The easiest solution to that is to use a program like USB Overdrive or one of the, if you've got a Kensington mouse or a Logitech mouse, using their drivers, which provide some options for dealing with acceleration. And then the third issue is, on when you plug in a Windows keyboard into the Mac, in many cases the Windows keyboard will actually show an Apple or a command key symbol, but when you actually go to use that as the command key without installing any software, it doesn't work as the command key. You actually have to use the Windows key. There's a freeware program called uControl that you can find at Version Tracker or Google it, and that allows you to assign the command key and the option key to the various keys that are on the keyboard, which basically converts a Windows keyboard into a Mac consistent keyboard. Anyway, those are the three things that the switchers on Ars Technica have run into, and I, based on the comments of a couple of your switchers, I thought the hints for Outlook and moving the mail might be useful. Thanks very much, and enjoy the podcasts. Thanks. And by the way, I'm Jim Erler from Stanchfield, Minnesota.
So thanks, Jim. There's some great information there, and I have links to everything he mentioned in the show notes at maccast.com. Okay, and so we've been talking a lot about switching from a PC to a Macintosh, and listener Michael sent me an email, and he pointed out that we really should, to be fair and balanced, give the other side, the other point of view, those people who maybe have switched from a Mac to a PC. So in the interest of giving free airtime, I want to play this comment for you.
The Mac, good machine, it's pretty fast, doesn't crash ever. I needed more of a challenge. I think it builds character to have to reboot your computer every day, you know? And sometimes twice a day. What I like about Windows is that it prepares me for the real world, for the harsh, bitter, evil things that, you know, are gonna happen. It's like a metaphor for life. You never know what's gonna happen, and it's not fair. I'm Skylar, I'm a student, and I switched to the PC.
So see, not everybody is switching over to the Macintosh. Some people are going the other way. Okay, anyway, so that was a great little piece Michael sent over, and if you want to see the actual QuickTime video, there is a link from the show notes on maccast.com. All right, that's the show for tonight. We're just over 20 minutes, so I'm going to leave you with a couple of things. One, make sure that... Oh, shoot, I almost forgot. I wanted to thank everybody. I don't know if anybody recently saw the USA Today article, but USA Today did a feature article, actually two articles, one in the business section and one in the life section on podcasting. The one in the business section focused on Adam Curry, but the one in the lifestyle section was all about Don and Drew and the Don and Drew show for the most part. But as part of that article, they had a little sidebar that listed the top 10 podcasts, and the MacCast was listed right there at number 8 because they pulled that list off of podcastalley.com. So all of you who went over and voted for the MacCast at podcastalley.com, I owe you a very huge thank you. And I just wanted to say that because otherwise I wouldn't have made that listing in USA Today. So I got some national coverage for the show, and I really appreciate it. If you hadn't had an opportunity to check out podcastalley.com, it's a directory where you can vote for your favorite shows, and you can do it once a day. So head over there, vote for the MacCast if you want. What I would really like is if some people would leave some more comments. You can actually make comments on the show also there and encourage other people to listen to the MacCast. So I'd appreciate that. Again, thanks to everybody who's already voted and continue to vote. I also want to mention some other ways you can support the show besides voting at podcastalley.com. On the maccast.com website, I have a PayPal tip jar. If you really like the show and want to help support it a little bit financially, I can always use the help in upgrading equipment, paying for bandwidth, things like that. You can donate there. You can also buy products at podthreads.com. It's a cafe press store I set up. I've designed some different logos, although one of my logos recently got pulled by Cafe Press because I guess I had an image of an iPod there and or in the logo that I designed, and they didn't think that was going to be kosher with Apple, so they made me pull it down, or they pulled it down for me. But I do have one design there. I will try and work on some more whenever I get some free time. I don't know when that's going to be, but anyway, that's some ways you guys can support the show. Visit maccast.com for the full show notes and to see some interesting images from that listeners sent in. Either there's some pictures of different people's Mac setups, and one guy sent me a picture of his Apple tattoo. So if you have any interesting Apple pictures or Mac related pictures you want to send me, send them in, and I will happily post them up on the maccast.com website. All right, as always, you can send email to matcast@gmail.com, MP3 audio comments, or just text emails, and you can call the listener hotline, 206-222-2788, if you want to leave an audio comment. That's 20-MACCAST-8. I'm going to leave you tonight with some new music from a band called Kinetic. Sorry, the track is called Stonehenge, and it was sent by Sasha, a listener in Sydney. Unfortunately, the band is no longer together, but I have the track. If you want to hear more, send me an email, and I can get you in contact with Sasha, and you can maybe get some more music from Kinetic. All right, that's it. I will see you guys all next time.
Mesdames et messieurs, j'ai l'immense plaisir de vous présenter en avant-première le son du prochain millénaire. Donc, sans plus tarder, voici les inimitables, intrigants et incomparables putains de champions du monde, Kinetic.